The Greatest Riches, a compilation.
As a child, I'd loved to visit my grandmother Sabina's small house in the mountains. Aunt Iota lived next door, so my sister and I would spend our days exploring with our cousins, going to the waterfall, swimming in the river that ran behind the property, or climbing the many mountains in the Mantigueda Ridge. It was heaven on earth for a city girl like me. Their family didn't have as much materially as ours did. Once, my cousin Annette said, "I may not be rich in things, but I am rich in my heart." And Grandma told me, "That is the most important." That was a new thought for me. Was there another kind of riches other than material ones? When I first read the Gospels, one of the stories that stood out to me was the one of the jeweler who discovered a pearl of great price and immediately sold all that he had in order to buy it. Jesus explained that this pearl was the kingdom of God, and when I read that, I felt a burning in my heart. I too wanted that pearl. Jesus taught, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Being from a metropolitan beach city with a high crime rate, I understood that concept very well. As I matured, I came to understand more clearly that true riches are not things of this earth. They are joy, peace, love, goodness, faith, and all the other real valuables that God wants to give each of us daily. Ours is the easy part, opening our souls to receive His gifts. If our treasures are in heaven, we will experience God's joy now and in the life to come. Rosanne Pereira. This is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, in Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Life is not things. Life is knowing God. Jesus told a parable. The land of a rich man produced plentifully, and he thought to himself, "What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops." And he said, "I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul is required of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." It is not a bad thing when your land produces plentifully. It is not a bad thing when your business prospers. It is not a bad thing to receive a promotion and with it a pay increase. It is not a bad thing when your investments increase in value. That is not the evil in this parable. He is not called a fool for being a productive farmer. God knows this broken world needs productive farmers and profitable businesses. Why then is he called a fool? By the way he used the increase of his riches, he gave no indication of being rich toward God. He kept building bigger barns. That might be okay if you're storing the grain for a use that shows God is your treasure. But what does the farmer say? Verse 19, "I will say to my soul, Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry. The use he plans to make of his wealth says one thing. My treasure is relaxing, eating, drinking, and fun. That is my life, and the riches in my barns make it possible. What's wrong with that? Nothing if there's no infinitely valuable God and no resurrection. That's why Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:32, if the dead are not raised, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. But there is a God, and there is a resurrection. So what's wrong with this man's way of handling his riches is that he fails to use them in a way that shows he treasures God more than riches. Here's the key concluding verse that makes the point most clearly. So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. What does it mean to be rich toward God? The meaning is plain from the contrast. It is the opposite of laying up earthly treasure for yourself. Being rich toward God is the opposite of treating the self as though it were made for things and not for God. Being rich toward God is the opposite of acting as if life consists in the abundance of possessions, not in the abundance of knowing God. Being rich toward God, therefore, is the heart being drawn toward God as our riches. Again, the issue isn't that the man's fields prospered. The issue is that God ceased to be his supreme treasure. If God had been his treasure, what would he have done differently? Instead of saying, "Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years, relax, eat, drink, be merry," he would have said something like this, "God, this is all yours. You have made my fields prosper. Show me how to express with my riches that you are my treasure, and the riches are not. I already have enough. I want the fullest blessing of giving. Because you taught me, Lord, it is more blessed to give than to receive." John Piper. Temporary success may often crown the efforts of the godless, but even their greatest achievements cannot bring complete satisfaction. That was Solomon's theme when he said, "The expectation of the wicked shall perish." If unrepentant sinners should view their most brilliant accomplishments in the light of eternity, they would find them to be as lasting and as valuable as bursting bubbles. The 19th century Bible scholar G.S. Bowes pointed out the ultimate futility of ambition that isn't accompanied by dedication to God. Citing four powerful world rulers of the past, he wrote, "Alexander the Great was not satisfied, even when he had completely subdued the nations. He wept because there were no more worlds to conquer, and he died at an early age in a state of debauchery. Hannibal, who filled 3 bushels with the gold rings taken from the knights he had slaughtered, committed suicide by swallowing poison. Few noted his passing, and he left this earth completely unmourned. Julius Caesar, staining his garments in the blood of 1 million of his foes, conquered 800 cities, only to be stabbed by his best friends at the scene of his greatest triumph. Napoleon, the feared conqueror, after being the scourge of Europe, spent his last years in banishment. No wonder Solomon warned of the poor prospects for anyone who strives to succeed without relying on God. HGB, Our Daily Bread. The only things we can keep are the things we freely give to God. What we try to keep for ourselves is just what we're sure to lose. C.S. Lewis. Money never made a man happy yet, nor will it. The more a man has, the more he wants. Instead of filling a vacuum, it makes one. Benjamin Franklin. If you want to feel rich, just count the things you have that money can't buy. Author unknown. It is preoccupation with possessions, more than anything else, that prevents us from living freely and nobly. Bertrand Russell. A man's bank account doesn't indicate whether he is rich or poor. It is the heart that makes a man rich. A man is rich according to what he is, not according to what he has. Henry Ward Beecher. One's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. Living the real thing doesn't consist of things, because things cannot truly satisfy. They may temporarily satisfy the body, but they can never satisfy the soul or the spirit of man that cries out to God the Father for the joy and happiness and eternal fulfillment that only He can give. Life, Jesus says, is more than things. It's what's inside that really counts. Love and joy and true happiness in your heart and peace of mind. The greatest of all riches are yours for the asking. The most valuable thing you can possibly have is Jesus, and He's the key to all the rest. Whatever this life and this world have to offer, it's only for a little while. But salvation, souls won, and service for the Lord are forever. They are eternal. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Moses esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, which could have been his, because he looked to the reward. He looked beyond his day and all its problems and temptations and saw Jesus. He had an eye on eternity and its great rewards, and counted the riches of Christ greater than all the riches of Egypt, the richest, most powerful nation on earth in that day, of which he could have been Pharaoh. By giving our all to the Lord, we are going to receive so much more. What a small price to pay for all we're getting in return. David Brandberg.
You've been listening to an audio production by The Family International. Visit us at www.thefamily.org.